Hello and welcome back to another episode of Living Yourself Completely. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. It is Sunday night, about 8:30, and I'm really just enjoying the quiet. I just put my son to bed, Brett's in bed, and it's been a very long weekend. It was beautiful weather here. Last time we talked, we had been hit pretty hard with the snow, and over the weekend it was like 40s, almost 50s, so it has been a lot of activity over our weekend on our end, and it's just been a wonderful couple of days, much needed and feeling very refreshed, definitely ready to start my week, and I hope you all are too. I wanted to let you guys know to be sure to go follow our new Instagram page at Loving Yourself Completely on Instagram, and to continue to write in to lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. This week, I am devoting this entire episode to questions about anxiety, depression. There's a couple parenting questions, and even sex with anxiety, which we've not touched on before. And I was also, as I was, you know, reading through some of these, and I get a lot of encouraging emails about the progress you've made and what you're doing. And I see them all. I see the amazing steps a lot of you are taking. And I wanted to take a moment to have you guys take a moment for yourself, to take a deep breath. And I really do want you guys to congratulate yourself. We are sometimes so focused on, you know, the end goal, where we want to be after anxiety, where we want to be after our depression or things like that. And sometimes we forget the progress we've already made. Even myself, I'm guilty of it. I've come so far from having anxiety attacks, and sometimes I still get my little anxious moments where I have to take a step back for a couple minutes and reevaluate why I'm feeling this way and what's going on around me, that I think, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's not gone yet. But I have to remember that I came from a place where I was having them, you know, multiple times a day, where I didn't want to leave my house, where I didn't even want to get out of bed. And now, you know, I jump up in the morning and I'm ready for the day and I'm excited for life, and I work out every day and I talk positive and I do this episode. You know, like I have come so far from negative talk to myself that when those little moments hit, I instantly think, well, what the heck? Why isn't it all the way gone yet? And I forget to pat myself back on the back for the strides I've made. So I wanted you guys to do that, and I wanted to tell you, all of you that have written in and told me all the progress you've made, congratulations. Congratulations on not only taking the steps to make your life better, but to make your body better, to make your mind better, to make your household better, and to just live this life that we're given. To just take every single day and be thankful for it. And even if we have hardships, because who said this life was meant to be easy? Nobody said that. Nobody said that this life was just going to be a cakewalk. And I think that it's a big letdown for people when they realize that life is hard. But it's all about your mindset. And that's what we focus on. We focus on getting that mindset to a healthy place, to where when these hardships come along, when they come, because they will, we know that we are strong enough to handle them. So again, I just wanted to say congratulations. I'm very proud of you all. And I really, really, really love when you guys give me credit. I think it's wonderful, but don't give me credit all the way. You guys, you're the ones doing it. I might be planting some seeds, but you're watering them, you're caring for it, you're fertilizing it. You guys are growing this all on your own. I think it's, I love your emails and they make my heart happy, but don't forget to congratulate yourself. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just a voice, but I love you guys and I want to thank you, and I do see your emails. And I'm so thankful for you all, because you guys, I also credit a small part to my recovery as well. Yes, I'm watering my own plant, but you guys are giving me so much and so much happiness. You are my sunshine for it. So thank you. Okay, so this week six questions, like I said, are all in the realm of anxiety and parenting and relationships and sex and all that good stuff. So that's what our podcast is about, mental health and our bodies and our minds. And I hope that my advice gives you some light into your situations. And I appreciate you guys writing in and trusting me with this stuff. And I just want to say thank you again. I'm just so thankful for you guys. And I've really just been basking in it and taking it all in. And when I read your stuff, you guys are really kind. You were really kind. And I've been getting some stuff from you guys, a couple of you on Instagram that have already joined, messages and positive information and positive things that you guys have been sending my way. And I just want to say thank you again. Okay, first question. My boyfriend and I are having a debate. Why do you think relationships sizzle out? Do you think sex plays a big part? I think if you love someone, that sex doesn't matter, and he disagrees. This has been making my brain crazy because he views this as such an important part, and I don't. It's been making me feel anxious that he will leave me if I don't keep up with him. Okay, so I definitely do see both sides. Do I think it's the most important part? No. Why do I think relationships sizzle out? I don't think it has anything to do with the sex. I think it has to do with one or the other person or both quit trying all around. I think it's, you know, relationships are full circle. You know, it's communication, trust, loyalty, sex, intimacy, and just giving. And I think it all plays a role. But if sex is a big part to one person and not to the other, they may feel as though they might feel that might make them upset or sad or feel like that may be their love language, you know, intimacy and affection and things like that. So I know we talked about it in another episode of certain love languages and just affection, hugs and kissing and sex and things like that. That's a lot of people's love language. So maybe to him, it's not so much about how you're viewing it that, you know, it's, oh, it's so important, but that could be the way he feels his love. So I would get on the same page with that. Like, is it just the sex or is it, this is when you feel we're the closest? And I just don't see it that way. So maybe communication on the question altogether is lacking. And why do I think relationships sizzle out? Like I said, just full circle. I mean, one or the other person quits trying or communication is lagging and you're not seeing each other's sides. That's a big deal because one person feels unheard and the other person doesn't know how to express themselves. I think it's all around full circle. And don't let it make you crazy just because you see things differently. I would make sure you're both on the same page to what sex actually means in his view. Like I said, it could be just that that's his love language. And I mean, it's a guy, so we sit there and we think, oh, that's all guys' love language, but it's really not. I mean, I know a lot of people that just want, that don't just want that, but they just like what comes of it, what makes them feel closest to their spouse. I think sex is important, but do I think it's the only thing that makes a relationship work? Absolutely not. So get on the same page as that. I would open up the communication to the whys and not so much the what ifs. Don't drive yourself crazy with that. Open communication, talk it through, don't be defensive. This is a relationship. It's hearing the other person, understanding it, and then validating that their feelings and their thoughts and things like that matter. Because they do. Of course they do. That's a successful relationship. Validating the other person's thoughts and views and wants and needs, you know? Okay, next one. This is one I get a lot, and I feel like we've addressed a couple times, but I'm going to address it again because it's one of the most common ones I get. Can anxiety make you feel like you're going crazy? I worry all the time that I might lose control. Okay, so short and sweet. It was a very to-the-point question, but as I've addressed before, you're not going crazy.
it's so many, with anxiety, you get so many different sensations in your body that it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming in that moment. Your mind is racing, your body's doing something completely other than what you want, you know, with the fast heart rate and the racing thoughts and the sensations that go through your body. You feel out of control, but you're not actually going to get out of control. And if you notice, a lot of the times when anxiety passes, you're exhausted. You know, you're tired. I know when I was having bad anxiety attacks, I would have one and I would sleep. I would go right to sleep. I couldn't even talk. I was exhausted. Our bodies get so overwhelmed that, of course, you feel as though like you're out of control. So the feeling of being out of control creates the fear of actually getting out of control and going crazy. But the fact that you're asking me that tells me you're not going crazy. You're not crazy. And that was one of my biggest fears as well, that I was going to lose control of my body and that I was gonna, you know, just become a crazy person. And I was scared to talk to people about it because I was like, they're gonna lock me up. They're gonna put me in a home. Like, if I tell them how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking when this stuff is going on, I'm gonna get put away. And that is the farthest thing from the truth, and that is anxiety talking. And you have to remember that even though we view anxiety, we don't want to fear it, we have to know that it wants us to fear it. Just because we are creating this mindset that we're not going to fear it, doesn't mean it doesn't want us to. It's not going to be our best friend. We're gonna make it that way on our end. But this is a one-sided relationship. We're going to love it, and it is still going to try to destroy you, but you're not going to let it. So the fact that it tries to make you feel like you're going crazy, that's its job. That's what it does. That's why people struggle with it, because it's an enemy coming your way. Just remember that you don't view it that way, and that you love it, and you welcome it, and you embrace it, but you don't let it stay. And you say, okay, I see you. There you are. Go away. It's like, and we've talked about before many times, you know, that anxiety, it's that fight or flight mode that's meant to keep you safe, but it's using it in a not healthy way. So it's meant to be in our body for important things, you know, when you're being chased, or, you know, when you're making a bad decision and that you could harm yourself. And it's meant to heighten your senses and to do all these things superhuman like, but yet it's coming on when you're going to sleep, when you're watching TV, taking a shower. And it's coming out of nowhere. So it's making you feel as though, I have no reason for all these things to be here. I'm freaking out, because you have nowhere to place that adrenaline. Now, if you're running through the woods from a serial killer, you would have a place to put that and it wouldn't scare you, because you would feel superhuman. But it's not, you don't feel superhuman when it hits you because you're sitting at the kitchen table, you know? You're not going to go crazy. I promise you that. Keep working on it. Keep doing those things. I was thinking the other day, and I was thinking, you know, about the health of anxiety and what it would do for you in a fight or flight situation if you were actually in one. And it's almost like I was kind of thinking, it's almost like a bodyguard. You know what I mean? Like, it's there just in case something bad happens. But yet at the same time, it's like a bodyguard that wants to be your best friend. No. This is business. I hired you for business only. You are to protect me if needed, if harm comes my way. And you're not allowed to do anything else because I'm paying you for this job. I don't want to be your friend. You're just the muscle I need behind me. And that's what I was kind of thinking. I'm like, it's kind of funny when you think of it that way, that you do need it in important situations, but because we're not always put in important situations, and we are all pretty safe and protected at most times, that it has nowhere to go. So it just comes out and it tries to keep us safe, but in turn, sometimes it makes us feel like we could go crazy. You will not, though. Again, I keep wanna repeating that. You're not gonna go crazy. Okay, next. When my girlfriend has anxiety, she is so mean and rude. She says it's not me, but I don't know how to help. And how do I not become offended when she's so mean to me? Okay. I hope she's not mean to you all the time, of course. anxiety comes out in so many different ways. I have definitely experienced the anger side of anxiety. It's not so much that we're angry, it's that we're panicked. We're scared. And you ever, you know, get so scared, like when your kid is gonna, okay, so if you have like a child or an animal or something, they're gonna run out into the road and you scream at them, no, 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 don't stop, freeze, turn around. You know, you freak out, but it comes out in this yelling voice and this, you sound angry. Or, you know, when you're anxious to go somewhere and your spouse is taking a while, but you're ready to go, you're so anxious to just get it going and over with. You're like, are you ready yet? Come on, let's go. It's not meant to come out as anger. It comes out that way simply because we're worried. Mainly because we're trying to protect ourselves and we just want to get through the motion of it. Sometimes it takes all our energy we have just to do the mundane stuff you do. You know, I used to have anxiety just going to work. So if there was anything that stood in my way of just getting out the door, it would make me upset, because how else am I going to feel? Am I going to feel sad? No. Why would I feel sad? Like, I got to go. I don't have time for that. Let's go. You get frustrated at the fact that you have something in your body that's trying to stop you from doing what is necessary. She is not, if she's just angry or rude to you during her anxiety, what can you do to help? I'm not sure if there's anything. Just be there if she needs it. Don't smother her. Don't ask her a million questions. Her brain is already overloaded. Sometimes people that don't know how to handle anxiety feel like they need to be all over you, that they need to protect you because you're freaking out. When in reality, sit at the other end of the couch. Sit next to them in bed, and if they want, rub their hair. You know, if they're okay to be touched in that moment. Sometimes they don't want to be touched. Just sit there, though. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to do anything. There is nothing to do to help. Just be there. That is the most helpful thing you can do. Because when that anxiety hits or when it's happening, the last thing you want to do is be alone. So if she knows she has somebody to talk to, if she feels like it, that's enough. That really is enough. That's all you need to do. Don't feel like it's you. Sometimes anxiety, we can take it out on our loved ones, and that sucks. It really does. And I'm sorry that you're having to go through that, but this is somebody you truly care about, and they're fighting really hard. I know she probably is. And I wish you all the best. I hope maybe have her listen to a couple episodes of how to address her anxiety, and maybe it won't come out so much as anger, but as something that she can embrace. And if she wants to write in, I'd love to email back and forth with her and more private. And I really wish you all the best, because anxiety in relationships, you think to yourself, you think, oh, this would be so great if this wasn't in the way. And unfortunately, if it wasn't in the way, something else would be. But it does suck, because you think about that all the time. If this would just go away, we'd be so great. And you can work on that. Okay. I've been feeling so much better as of late, but am starting a new job soon. Oh, congratulations. My anxiety has been through the roof. I start my new job in 2 weeks, and every part of my brain is telling me not to go. How can I stop this and just learn to embrace the fact that this is going to happen when something new comes into my life? Oh, I love the embrace. Yes, I've been saying that all day. Embracing it. Okay, I totally get this. It's a new thing. It's a new chapter. It'd be weird if you weren't a little nervous. I wouldn't even say somebody without anxiety wouldn't be nervous. Of course, it's a change in your life, your lifestyle, your habits. You're learning something new. You're going to be doing videos and training and paperwork. And of course, you have so much stuff coming your way. That's nerve-wracking. And I understand that every part of my brain says not to go. Oh, I so understand that. That is the worst. It really is. I honestly, like, totally kind of off topic. I have a dentist appointment tomorrow. And I have to get like a crown done. And I have canceled this appointment 3 times. Because I'm like, it's not bothering me. He just wants me to get it done, because in the future it could bother me. But I'm like, I don't want to go because I hate the dentist. And it's just one of those things where you go, it's going to be fine. I'm going to walk out to my car at the end of the day and come home. But in the midst of it, I'm going to be nervous and I'm going to sweat probably a little bit. We all have those things that we get a little nervous about that we know we just have to go do. But it may suck that your brain is saying don't go and that you're anxious and things. Just tell yourself, I am safe. That's still my favorite thing to repeat to myself. I am safe. I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go there. And then I'm going to get in my car and come home at the end of the day. This is another day. This is another journey. This could lead me down the best path of my life. And I'm going to, like you said, and like I say, we're going to embrace this. I'm going to embrace this because of the fact I know this anxiety is stemming from wanting to keep me safe from the unknown. This new job is the unknown to me, but it's not a scary unknown. This is an exciting unknown. And you have to flip that around in your mind instead of being nervous about the what ifs and the unexplored journey that you're about to go down. You have to do it in excitement. You have to say to yourself, I've not done this before. Wow, I can't wait to see the new things I learn. I can't wait to see what new opportunities are coming my way. I'm going to have to learn a lot, but that's exciting because who doesn't want to learn new things in life? Who doesn't want to do that? So that's very exciting, and I'm very excited for you. Flip the script a little bit and just know that it is anxiety trying to keep you safe from something you are truly nervous about, but it's something you don't have to be nervous about. You are safe. You are going to be fine. And do your meditation, do your breathing, picture yourself at that new job, embracing it and having a wonderful day and picturing all the new things that could come your way because of this new opportunity. Instead of, oh, what if I mess this up? Or what if I don't do good at this? What if there's people I don't like? What if I meet my brand new best friend? You know, so flip it around a little bit. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to go subscribe to Loving Yourself Completely and turn on your notifications to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Okay, this next question actually got me a little emotional because as a parent, I think we can all relate to this, and all we want to do is give our children a great home life, you know? And I'm sorry, this really affected me. And I myself struggle having a good relationship with my mom. And I blame it a lot on my childhood. And I think the last thing that we want to do is give our kids a childhood that they have to recover from. My mom, before I read the question, sorry, I haven't even read the question, but my mom, I'm one of five. She was a single mom, and she worked a lot. She had a lot of health, not a lot of health issues, but she had intense health issues with her kidney failure and kidney transplant, and she worked a lot, and it was no fault of her own. We were kind of in the fire zone all the time. I remember she struggled a lot. I would wake up in the middle of the night and she'd be in the kitchen crying, not knowing if we were going to keep the house. And she went through a lot of, I think personally, depression and anxiety a little bit. I'm not sure if that's what it would label as, but us growing up, you know, she had a lot on her plate. And to no fault in her own, all of me and my siblings, it's like we're recovering from that childhood. It was very chaotic and it sucked. So this question hurts my heart because we all fear that. I fear this in myself. It says, I have depression. I have been on medication. I worry it's affecting my children who are 2 and 5. I just want to be that fun mom, but I'm struggling. I feel better on the meds, but I just fear it's coming back. How do I start? No, I fear it coming back. How do I start new, knowing they've only known me with anxiety and depression? What if it comes back and they miss the new fun me? I'm nervous to even be fun because what if it goes away? It sucks. It sucks. This is not a question that I can really answer because I don't know. I don't know if it'll come back. You don't know if it'll come back. But again, we are just living day by day. Why not be fun? Why not do all the things? And if it comes back, us moms are so tough. You say some days, mom's tired today. Mom's struggling today, maybe tomorrow. Or, you know, the simple things that I've come to see on the days that I would struggle. Some days I would just be laying on the couch. I didn't really have energy to do anything. I would say, bring a board game to me. You don't always have to be that amazing, crazy vacation mom, you know, who's always doing all the things. When I was younger, we didn't do any of those things, but that didn't matter to me. Like, it never bothered me that we didn't do vacations. It never bothered me that, you know, my mom didn't take us places. All I wanted to do was hang out with her. All I wanted to do was read her my poems or lay next to her in bed or take a nap with her when she napped. Like, it didn't bother me that my mom wasn't fun. What bothered me was that my mom, she made adult problems vocal to her kids, and we were scared a lot. So I'm not saying to shield your child 100%, but your kids are young. All they want to do is be with you. Don't fear it coming back. Fear what you're going to miss out on if you constantly live in that fear. You know, childhood, it doesn't have to be what Facebook says it is, what Instagram says it is, what Pinterest says it is. I just wanted my mom. I think that's all kids. They just want to feel loved. They want to feel important. They want your time. It truly is the biggest thing when people say material things don't matter to a child. They just want your time. So that's all you need to give them. That's all I ever wanted from my mom was her time. I could go into long stories about just wanting my mom's time. And we struggled. I struggled getting that. I think all of us kids did. Like I said, most of my life she worked a lot or sometimes was working two jobs. And, you know, she was single, so she tried to have a dating life. But there were five of us at home. And then my one sister went off to college and my other sister had a child young. And so that I had my niece living with us too. So there was a baby in the house. It was a very hectic, crazy, semi-unhealthy household. But I would have given anything to just have more time, emotionally with my mom. So don't worry about not being the fun mom all the time. That's okay. You know, have them sit next to you and read a book. Depression can make you feel exhausted and sad and worthless, but your kids can bring that back sometimes. And if you are on medication, that is going to help you. You're going to be okay. Don't fear the unknown just because you're scared of what it has done in the past. If it's gone for now, enjoy that. Life has so many ups and downs that we don't always get to see what's coming next. It could be a waterfall. It could be, you know, a hill. It could be a rock. We're not sure. So why not just enjoy it while we're going? They will not miss you as long as you are there. We can put on brave faces as parents, and that's what's important to do. But what's also amazing is because you are open about this and experiencing this, that as they get older, if they need you, you will be there. And I think that's pretty incredible too. Embrace this knowing that you are learning the mental health side of the body, and that's important to know. Don't fear it. Learn it. All right. Sorry, that was an intense one and it made me so emotional. I feel like as parents, we just worry every day. You worry every day. Did I just mess up my kid for the rest of his life today?
You know, did I just ruin the one person I love the most in this life because I yelled or I said the wrong thing or I did the wrong punishment or I scarred them for life with this? You know, we just worry so much when sometimes all you need to do is just be right next to them the whole time. That's all they want. They just look for you to be there. I think you're a great mom. Keep going. Okay. Do you think a man who watches porn is unsatisfied sexually? My husband watches it every day and it makes me feel inadequate in the bedroom. I told him it's ruining my confidence, but he sees no harm. My anxiety to perform during sex has been through the roof. I actually have been having anxiety sensations during sex. I've never had sex anxiety, but now I'm starting to and am beginning to hate it. Is that a thing? So as I was saying, this is very common. Sex anxiety is a thing, which what it is, what I try to think it is. So not only maybe you were anxious because you watch his porn and you, like you said, you feel inadequate. So sexual sensations go kind of hand in hand with anxiety sensations. The tingling, the fast heartbeat, sweating, whatever may have you. So people who experience anxiety on a daily basis, when you feel those sensations during sex, they scare you, right? Because you're not used to experiencing them in a positive way. You're used to everyday fear, impending doom makes you nervous. So that could be... That's definitely a thing. Sex anxiety is a thing. But I feel like, so I wanted to get that out there, but I feel like where you're coming from is because he watches porn every day, you feel anxious to be like these other women or to look like that or perform like that or things. Again, communication is a big deal. You say he watches it every day. That could go one of two ways. It could be that he, you know, just enjoys that. That's his guilty pleasure. It could be that he has a sex addiction. It could be that he is unsatisfied at home. This is where communication does come in. If your husband is watching porn every day and it's making you feel inadequate in the bedroom, have you spoken to him about this? Have you asked him about this in a healthy way, not in an attacking way? Because some people feel shameful that they watch it. So I can understand that it could make you upset. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't bother me. I remember, though, when I was insecure in past relationships, it did bother me because I was insecure because they cheated on me or I didn't trust them or I didn't feel good enough because they cheated on me, things like that. So I was very insecure. My relationship now, I don't mind. I think we've talked about it before. We watch it together or I just don't care. So I don't even know when or if he watches it. I know he does, obviously. Most guys do. I don't know when. So... it's just one of those things that it's all about your communication, your comfortability. Is there a reason that it bothers you? And if you know he does it every day, so you're obviously open about that, I feel like there's a lack of communication going on here. I feel like everything you just said to me in this email, maybe you need to address to him. Maybe you need to say these things. You know, are you unsatisfied sexually? This makes me feel inadequate. This makes me feel I'm not good enough. And this makes me feel like I am missing something with you that you're trying to fill every day watching this. So definitely a lack of. So I would communicate that with him, and then I maybe would even say to him, you know, this is causing me to be a little anxious when we do have sex because I'm worried you're looking at me as though I should be one of those girls. I should be like that, or our sex life should be like that, when we all know that porn is just a flat-out fantasy world. I mean, it's just not reality. You know, I've listened to more than I can count girls that are in the porn industry and guys. It's all about angles, it's all about visual. 9 times out of 10, the girls are disliking what they're doing because they're like, oh, this angle looks good, but it doesn't feel good, you know. It's all about the visual stimulation. So you shouldn't feel inadequate. It's just it's just a show, you know? You guys are together and you're married, and I think that that is more important than anything. I definitely feel like communication is going to play the key factor of this, so your self-esteem doesn't drop anymore. Repeat to him what you said to me, and if he hears you, he will understand it. And if he doesn't, this is going to be a bigger problem to address in the future. And it could harm your relationship. I would tell him, this is harming us. Is this what you want? I need you to be more open to me. Or would it bother you if he wasn't open about it? You know, like you said, you know, every day. Would it bother you if he didn't tell you? You know, like it doesn't, people, just because you're in a relationship, like you don't have to know every private moment of your spouses. I know I don't tell Brett every time I watch it or things like that. Like, I don't tell him those things. It's just something you do. Like, we are our own individual people, and it's not unhealthy to have a private life within yourself as well. This is our bodies too. It doesn't, they're not half of theirs, you know? So maybe that's a thought too. Okay, how do you find me time as a stay-at-home mom with virtual learning? Yes, I am choosing to keep them home for personal reasons, but I'm wondering if my sanity is at risk. I feel like I've lost myself. I hate being stuck at home, and I have become envious of my husband leaving for work. I know it's not his fault, but I'm so lonely, yet literally I'm not lonely. Girl, preaching to the choir, I get you. Blake was virtual for so long, I felt like I was going to lose my mind. You're stuck home, can't go anywhere, you have so many meetings a day, and you're stuck in the house until after 3 o'clock, and then by that time your spouse is home, there's nowhere to go, and it's just the same routine over and over and over. How do you find me time? Those little moments, and knowing that this will eventually pass, those little moments in the bathroom, the little moments, you know, when your kids are sleeping, staying up on that time. You know, I found it when my spouse and when my kid went to sleep, I would stay up for 2 or 3 more hours and do my nails and a face mask and take a bath. I enjoy cleaning, so I would clean and organize things. I like doing that stuff. And sometimes I would find little excuses to, when Brett got home, to run to the store and grab something. And I would enjoy browsing around the store. And on the weekends, it sucks. Like, I'm trying to, I don't know your full lifestyle schedule. You said them, so I'm assuming multiple children. That's hard. I only have the one, and I am struggling. It's a toss-up. It really is. You know, if you feel like you're risking your sanity, you're choosing to keep them home, it is a toss-up. And you have to, if you're choosing to keep them home and this is what you want, then it's important for you to find that self-care. Remember that, you know, yes, their education is important, and, you know, them succeeding, of course, that's so important. But guess what's important too? Them having their mother, who's not a crazy lady all the time, you know? Find those moments. I don't know how old your kids are, but they're in school, so I'm sure there are moments. Maybe, you know, stick them on some screen time. That's okay. Don't feel guilty. Let them watch some TV. Take off into your bedroom. Sit in there. Read a book for a little bit, or, you know, put in your headphones and listen to some music or watch some TV. You have to find those little moments that we find ourselves so busy, and we think that when our kids are home, our whole day is devoted to them. You have to remember that you have to devote some of that time to you as well. And don't feel guilty for that. That's another thing that we always feel guilty about. And we've talked about multiple times not feeling guilty about that. So that's something else we need to work on. Okay. Dare. D-A-R-E. It's a free app that helps manage anxiety, panic, and breathing. They are a small-owned company that have been doing big things. They help with guided meditation, embracing sensations, handling situations with anxiety, and they will even help to end your insomnia. There's an amazing SOS button when you're in need of immediate relief with guidance from their audios. They will even send you daily inspirations to your phone. Upgrade to their premium for $9.99 a month for an extra 150 plus of their therapeutic audios, a new daily dare audio every day, a monthly themed challenge, and supportive online communication. Download Dare today for free. As I'm reading these, I'm like hoping that we have enough time. If we don't have enough time, I might have to catch you on the next episode. It's a lot of questions, and I was thinking, I'm devoting this whole episode. This is so much going on, and that as I'm reading these, I'm like, wow, I put a lot into this episode thinking I could get to them all, and I may have to do an episode next week finishing these. Okay. Can panic / anxiety cause palpitations and body shakes? Another common one that I wanted to address. Yes. So palpitations are one of the most common things of anxiety. You feel like a big thud in your chest, or you feel like your heart skips a beat, or that it needs to catch up so it beats a bunch of fast times. Those suck. I was getting those actually all day yesterday. Oh, it was driving me crazy. So I wanted to talk about that and body shakes. I feel like I don't know body shakes. I know that like you get the shakes when you have anxiety. I would chalk that up to that. Yes. Of course, always follow through with your doctor. Palpitations, so common though. I even did the heart monitor thing for like a month, and they seen my palpitations. They're a real thing, and they're visual on a monitor. Are they life threatening? 9 times out of 10, no. Again, you follow up with your doctor, but most things you read, they're not. When you're anxious and you get them, I would say no. If they keep repeating, you lose your breath, you feel like you're going to pass out or throw up, definitely go to the emergency room. But if they're just something that make you nervous when they happen, you're probably fine. A little trick I learned is to make sure, A, I'm hydrated. So I drink probably 1.5 gallons of water a day to make sure I'm hydrated. But sometimes if they're happening like in the morning while I'm cleaning, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't fill up my jug today, I haven't even drank water. They can definitely come from being dehydrated. They can come from too much caffeine in the morning. They can come from anxiety and nervousness, things like that. But another thing I've learned to get rid of them is A, splash cold water on your face. Or even in the shower, like I'll take a shower and I'll just stand under cold water for like 30 seconds to a minute. I feel like it like resets my body, resets your heart rhythm, it resets your mind, and you're strictly focused on surviving this cold water. And you can also make a fist like with a hole in the middle, like open, and cough into it, but yet the end's closed. So cough into your fist with the other side of it closed, and that supposedly resets your rhythm. Also, like bear down, like tighten your abs and like bear down to your bottom. Oh gosh, I sound like a mom. To your bottom, bear down, and that resets it as well. I'm trying to think if there were any other ones that I missed. Those are the main ones you're supposed to do. Coughing, bearing down, cold water, and hydration. Those are the main ones. And also just be careful of your caffeine intake. Like I have 1 cup of coffee a day. That's what my body can handle, or I will get the palpitations. So I'm very caffeine sensitive. Okay. Why can't I find who I want to be? I allow the worst people into my life because they need me, but they ruin my life while I help theirs. It's a vicious cycle of being the caretaker to everybody in my life. That's a tough one. So yes, you will ruin your life 100% of the time if you constantly allow people to take it from you. You have to draw those boundaries. And I know we've talked about this before. You have to be your own priority. Nobody else is coming to save you. That is a hard call for you. It may not be what you want to hear, but if you're allowing these people to come in and steal your shine and steal your thunder and money and emotions and motivation, they will take it. People will take everything you have and not feel bad about it in the slightest. You are in control of if you're allowing this or not. You have to change your habits to change your life. And if your habit is to allow these people to come in and take away from the way you're living and take away from your self-care and growth, then you need to change your habits.
point and simple. Like, that's it. You have to be so fed up with it and so done with it and so wanting to move on from this kind of life that you have to be done. I know so many people have done that. I've done it. Brett's done it. Friends of mine have done it. There will always be people. Sorry, I like completely stuttered. There will always be people that want you to help them. You can say no. You don't have it. And we talked about this. Saying no doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you your priority. And if you can't handle this right now, then don't do it. You have to be your own voice. Nobody's coming to save you. So if you're allowing the worst people, as you say, in your life because they need you, but they ruin your life while you're helping them, let them save themselves, because it sounds like now you're starting to enable them. You're enabling these people to rely on you for care, and then who's there to save you? You have nothing left. You have to help yourself first. Okay. Love the honesty reveal on your show. Just started listening last week and I'm all caught up. Oh my gosh. I love that. My question is for my child. She has been showing symptoms of anxiety at the age of 15. How can I help her? It's not every day, but her panic makes me scared when it happens. I've pre-listened to some of your episodes and let her listen with me when they are appropriate. They seem to resonate, but is there any more I can do? Isn't she too young to have so much fear? No. 15. She's probably got a lot going on in high school, friends and social media and all the craziness that this world is surrounding right now. Again, as in my previous question with the guy with his girlfriend, just being there. And, you know, if she get her into therapy, that could be super helpful. Therapy, let her learn how to process these emotions now. Get ahead of it to where in her adult life, they're not so terrifying. I would definitely get her into therapy and make sure she's safe. You know, the therapist will tell you if they're concerned about her anxiety or depression or anything she's going through. They will tell you if they're concerned about her. And if you want her to be on medicine, I don't know. You can involve her doctor. I don't know how severe it is, but you said it's not every day. But when she panics, you're scared. Of course you're scared. You're a good mom. Or dad, actually. I'm not sure. Mom or dad. So you're a good parent and just being there for her. Follow your gut. Follow your gut. Get her into therapy. If you feel she needs to see a doctor, go for it. And just listen to her. Have her start journaling. Ask her to journal what she's writing, that she doesn't have to show anybody, but just to write down what she's feeling and all that stuff. It's not too early to experience anxiety. I definitely did when I was in school. I had it probably in middle school. I didn't know what it was. Nobody really understood me. Nobody really talked about mental health back then. So I think it's wonderful. And you're a step ahead in the parenting market for recognizing this and understanding this and reaching out and trying to help your child. I think you're already doing everything you can as a parent. I know you are. So I would definitely, my number one piece of advice would be to do therapy. And I hope she gets better. And like you said, pre-listen to some of my episodes. I know some of them aren't child appropriate, but if there's some good ones and the beginning basics of anxiety, I think that's a good one. Back to basics. And just let her know she's not alone. And I'm sure a lot of other kids are experiencing this and maybe they're not vocal about it, but she's definitely not alone. She's got a good support system. It sounds like you're there for her. And anything I can do, please continue to email me and keep me updated. And I wish you all the best, because that is scary, watching your child struggle when you know that they're going to be okay, but you just want them to know that they're going to be okay. That's hard. So keep doing what you're doing, and I wish you the best. Keep writing in. I'd love to chat with you some more. Okay. Any advice on how to start dating when every guy you have ever been with has put you down in every way possible? I'm nervous to even show up because all I think that they're thinking is all the nasty things I've been told about myself. I want to get married one day and start a family and feel beautiful, but I'm having a hard time believing I deserve it due to my past. How do I get over this? Slowly. It doesn't happen overnight. When you've been with somebody who's made you feel like garbage, you feel like garbage. Their voice becomes your inner voice, and that sucks. And that's a power that they took away from you, and I'm so sorry. That's uncalled for, and they were not kind in that way, and they were not raised that way, I'm sure. How dare they? So it's a slow thing. Like I said, it's like a knotted up ball of yarn that you're going to have to untangle slowly. Again, therapy. I suggest that to anybody who struggles with self-image and self-doubt, because hearing a stranger's point of view on how you view yourself and the reasons you view yourself, which you already know it's because of a past relationship, they can help you untangle that ball. They can help you put those pieces back together and make something beautiful out of it. You are a beautiful person, and you're not what that person said. They said that to you to tear you down so you felt worthless, so worthless that you wouldn't leave them, because they were so insecure of you leaving them that they decided to tear you apart so you were scared to do so. It had nothing to do with you. None of those things that person said to you was true. They felt that way about themselves, maybe, and they felt that if I tear her down, there's no way she'll leave me. I'm terrified of her leaving me, so I must destroy her to where she comes crawling back to me on her hands and knees because she feels so worthless. That was their goal. Their goal was to do this to you, to be that inner voice to you. So now it's time to take your power back and say, they tried to destroy me so I would stay, and I left anyways. How strong and beautiful does that make you? That you said you can say whatever you want about me and you're still not good enough for me. You can make me feel any type of way and I'm still leaving. You should take power in that. And you should get out into the dating world, because I'm sure you are beautiful and wonderful and have a great heart, and let these other people tell you that. And you're going to come across some people who aren't so kind, maybe, and people that aren't meant for you, but it's just another part of your journey back to loving yourself. You need to find that. You need to stay strong, stand up for yourself. And now you recognize those red flags of some narcissistic person who tries to destroy what they come into contact with out of fear that you might see their flaws as well. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Loving yourself completely is loving even the dark journeys you have been on, finding the light side of it and saying, hey, that was sent to completely destroy me, and look at me, it did not. You can do this. Instead of, you know, thinking those nasty things that they've told you about yourself, come up with the new ones every single day. Three things you love about yourself, three things you love about your life. Write it down, tuck it in your pocket, look at it when you start thinking those things again. There are ways to unprogram this, and you need to start now, because don't let that person win. Get back out there, start dating. You can do this, and continue writing into me. Oh, I did. I got through all of them. Okay. Might be a little long of an episode, but I got through all of them. Okay. That's all we're going to do today. Perfect. I did have a lot of questions about another sex episode, and I may do one in the future. I have gotten so many questions, and I love you guys writing in. It was a very open episode, and I had so much fun making it, and I maybe will do one in the future. I am taking all of your stories, all of your questions that are strictly related to sex and not anxiety or relationships and things like that, and I'm taking them and putting them in a little folder for when I am ready. So I'm not just ignoring them, because I've gotten that email a lot. Can you do another sex episode? I have so many questions. I had one girl say, I personally have 20 questions just for me. Oh, so there will be another one. Not sure when at all. I haven't even begun to sort through them yet, but I see them, I've read them, and I've tucked them away to be put into order. So I do see you guys. So again, continue loving yourself completely this week. And this week, I really do. I want you guys to continue working on your goals. As I say every single Sunday, it's time to start putting yourself first and putting that first foot forward. It's time. How long have you been waiting to take that step towards these goals? Don't wait anymore. The time is still passing. What are you doing? Let's do this together. You're not alone. You can write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com and go follow my new Instagram @lovingyourselfcompletely on Instagram. And you can private message there. I get messages there as well. Go leave a rating. Go leave a review. Enjoy your Sunday. Have a great week. I'll see you guys next Sunday. Continue loving yourself completely. Bye.